Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Helen Gillette.
I had it before.
Helen Gillette, award-winning cellist, producer, and singer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And you will be on the Lanyap stage today at 12:40.
That's right.
Now, folks, she plays the cello with looping pedals, and I was just telling Helen that there are sounds that come out of that instrument that if you weren't watching her perform, you would never guess that it was a cello that was actually producing those sounds. And you were, you know, moved by that. But, I mean, it's so true.
I mean,
you know, when you listen to it, it's just absolutely incredible and beautiful. And you have a beautiful voice to match as well.
Thank you. I always say that cello taught me how to sing.
Oh, really?
Because I studied classical cello performance until, you know, through a master's degree. But I never took singing lessons. And I was just singing and playing the cello at the same time. And I just kept doing that. And so I think that the timbre of that instrument, you know, it's leaning against your chest and it's vibrating. And they say it's much like the male human voice. And luckily I'm an alto, so it worked well for me. So the cello just kind of taught me how to sing, I think, through all that vibration. And then, you know, as far as all those sounds, I have a lot of people to thank, but classical music, for sure, you develop this extended techniques and stuff. But it was moving to New Orleans 23 years ago that really taught me how to stretch out my sound. You know, I started working with James Singleton, and I started working with Johnny Vodakovich. I started working with all the Astral Project guys, Tony DeGrotti, and then also then it just branched out from there. And I just, you know, horn players, flute players, drummers, percussionists, all of that's going into playing the cello. Bass players, you know, I'm a wannabe bass player, really.
So with the looping pedal, it allows you to generate a broad dynamic range of sound.
So what the looping pedal does is just like a sound engineer on the fly through your foot. Like my foot is my sound engineer, my right foot, and I'm stomping on this box, and it's just recording layers of what I'm putting into it. So sometimes I teach looping lessons to adults and kids, and they're always like, oh, how do I sound like you? You know, I'm like, you're not going to sound like me, you're going to sound like you over and over and over again.
And so it's not the same concept as a synthesizer.
No, so there's no samples.
It's a whole different concept.
No, that's a good question, and one that probably a lot of people wonder about when they come hear me. Oh, are these pre-recorded or these samples? But they're not. It's just a tool to record live sound.
It's a manipulation of sound waves.
Making a sound stack. Like a sandwich.
Oh, okay.
You're just recording yourself and playing it back in live time. So you have the first layer, then the second. And it takes some finesse with your footwork, much like a drummer's bass drum pedal. Has to be independently coordinated, you know. That's how it feels now with my looper. My right foot is my looping foot. And it just records me live on the fly. And I've gotten comfortable with it, so it's not awkward or mechanical. And it's really a part of the organic experience of it.
So the best way for me to describe for the listening audience is that as I listen to the performance, I'm just completely intrigued by the sounds.
Yeah, you know, when you start
layering
sounds.
Because when you break from the loop and you just go back to the cello
yes.
for, you know, short periods of time, and then you go back to the loop.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can drum on the cello. Yeah. I drum on it. It's like a big bongo.
I love that. Yeah.
And then the bass lines, piccolo bass lines, and then guitar. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with the cello. It's a good instrument.
How would you describe the genre that you're actually playing? I mean, I mean, it's very diverse.
I know. I really do try because I get asked a lot. And in the world we live in, we kind of need to categorize things sometimes.
Everybody's so looking for a name.
I know. And so I try to tell people it's kind of like electroacoustic world music. So I'm singing in French and English.
Right.
So, you know, I sing French songs and I definitely come from that chanteuse style, like beginning to sing in that French way that's like a lot of chutzpah and a lot of, like, you know, good for an alto vocal singer like myself. But then I also love rock and roll and punk rock, and I sing, and I sing all types of stuff. So kind of fuse together maybe some, you know, shout out to Gwen Tompkins from NPR who said, you know, with a flair of the Velvet Underground, which is true.
I saw that quote.
Yeah. There's, Brian Eno's in there. Classical music's in there. French chanson is in there. Funk. Prince is definitely a huge inspiration to me. Plus, living in New Orleans and playing with a bunch of funk bands, that is in there. And I was a drummer in a girl punk band before I moved to New Orleans.
Yeah.
So some of that is in there, you know. So there you take all that and put it into a Belgian American.
Born in Belgium.
Yes. Raised in Singapore, actually, for 9 years. But in a French school because my parents were trying to keep
them. So what drew you to the cello?
Honestly, my parents are both musical. They weren't professional, but semi-professional sometimes. And they just, it wasn't like what are you going to, or if, it's what. It's like not if you're going to play an instrument, it's which instrument are you going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful to them for that. And I chose the cello. I actually chose the upright bass because I was so tall.
Right.
And then my mom, in a funny story, my mom actually tricked me into playing the cello when we went to the store because it looked enough like a bass that she fooled me. I said, when do I get to stand up, Mom? She's like, that'll come later. So she just lied through her teeth. But it was good because
you know
she
what's
knew.
Interesting about today is we interviewed Mark Paradis. I'm sure you know Mark.
Oh, yes, my buddy. We've been in a string section before.
Plays an electric cello.
Yes.
So now I have you, Helen.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of today, the new executive director, Blake Anthony Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Of Jazz Fest is a cellist.
No way! Oh, we're taking over. This
You're
was my plan.
Taking over. I'm telling you.
It's
the invasion of cello players.
I'm so happy. My evil plan is working.
Good. And as I was putting this together, and I was looking at it last night, I said, "What are the odds of setting up this and having three cello players on the stage?"
I say it's a really good sign of a healthy musical ecosystem.
There you go. That's my story, and I'm sticking
that's
to
right,
it.
That's right. Well, you got to have some cello. You know, Charles Mingus was a cellist.
Yes.
He also played the bass. He primarily played the bass, but when he broke his hand, he went back to playing the cello. There's some really cool albums where he's playing cello, and Abdul Wadud with the Julius Hemphill Orchestra.
Yes.
In the 70s, one of my earliest inspirations, really heavy sound, gritty jazz sound. Ernst Reisiger, who's a crazy Dutch cello player who's a badass, and he was an influence on me. They've been around in the jazz world, just a little bit more in the other section, and now we're infiltrating.
Infiltrating.
We're coming back in.
Moving to the front of the stage.
I hope so. Well, I'm going to be in the front of the stage today. Come and see.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Because you have such a diverse range. And you bring a lot of different genres together. Do you have a favorite genre of music?
Jazz and improvisation still remains. I love just being free. In fact, my songs always sound different, even when I'm by myself, because I like to be in this the place that is an improvised music space is an absolute joy to live in. Because you're trusting that the groove is going or not going, if you're not going that direction. But
what
you're trusting in the moment, and then in the people that are on stage with you, or which I do play with a lot of people and go way out in the avant-garde, which has also helped me find these sounds,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you were talking about earlier. Like, but but whether I'm by myself or with a group, I'm always improvising. I'm improvising with the weather and the audience's energy,
right,
and where I'm at that day. It's just, it's nice to be in that space. So I know that doesn't narrow down the genre for you.
But no, but it's interesting because you bring up something, and I'm kind of curious, and I've never had the opportunity to ask someone this question. So for you, is it harder to play alone or with others?
So such an interesting question. I have a band for my French songs that we've played together so long that they read my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as easy to get on stage by myself as with that band. Because I just trust my drummer and I are just locked in. And I don't have to worry. And I can loop, I can switch on a dime, and they're right there,
right,
for the most part.
Right.
Plus, it's just fun to cue a band. It's fun to be with a band on stage. I also love playing by myself because I really do have the ultimate freedom to do whatever I want.
Right.
And so I think my true essence can come out even more when I'm as a solo artist. But then sometimes I miss. I actually have somebody sitting in with me today on saxophone and flute, and she's going to come in and play two songs. She's a total monster, Jessica Lurie from Seattle and New York. She's incredible. So
when we talk about improvisation, you know, for a lot of folks, that's a foreign term.
Right.
You know?
And it could be scary.
Yeah. But yeah, you're playing along.
Yeah.
What happens where you're going to pivot?
Right.
You know, what is
usually something unexpected.
What's the influence that, you know,
yeah,
that causes the pivot?
Usually it's something unexpected, whether
your left ear itches or
it could be. Yeah. Get stung by a bee or something. but unexpected musically, especially if there's other people around. Like, oh, I was going to go in this tango direction, but it seems like we're going into a walking swing bass line. Oh, okay. That's where we're headed. And you just have to adapt quickly.
So, I mean, if you're there, and I don't mean to belabor this point, but
no,
I'm just totally intrigued by it.
Yeah.
And you see a couple over on the side dancing a certain style of dance.
Yeah. Oh, it depends if my eyes are open or not. But if I see them and we're interacting, I usually just try to keep digging into the rhythmic component. I'll do a couple more verses
for them. And I just use that as an example of that would create that pivot for you.
Yeah, sure. If I, especially when I'm with my band and because it's a little bit more. I mean, people do dance to my solo show. I just did a ballet of my music in Kansas City, Missouri,
mm-hmm,
like a beautiful ballet. But I've also had people just in their cups, like dancing and. Yeah, I felt like I made it in New Orleans when I played a Ferret Street Festival,
uh-huh,
and I was playing solo, and I was jamming out, and I'm dancing in my chair. Like, I'm going to fall out of my chair one of these days.
Yeah.
Like, I like to dance when I get in the groove. And there was a couple, these two, like, pretty drunk girls were in the front row, and they were falling and dancing and, like, just having, like, a great time.
Great time.
And I was like, I've done it. I've made people dance at a festival with just a cello and a loop pedal. I'm like, yes, you know.
Have you performed here before, Jazz Fest?
Yes, this is my 10th year playing my show.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had my drummer join me some years. I've had some horn players join me. But this year I'm excited to invite a horn player for a couple tunes at the end of the set.
Any butterflies when you're before a Jazz Fest?
Just the usual excitement, you know? Yeah, I get excited. I'll you know, what time is it? Yeah, talk to me in about a half an hour. We're going to start wrapping up here. Yeah.
You'll be a whole different
persona. I start
getting
into my trance. Yeah, yeah. Do my little...
Well, best of luck to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I want to just briefly, if you would, describe that loop, because there are times where you're like on the left and then all the way on the right.
I know, my right foot is just trained at this point.
You know, and sometimes with the same foot, though, and not the other. And I'm like, she's going to fall out of her chair.
I know.
I mean, you said that earlier, and it was kind of this.
I do have a really good chair. I bring my own special cello chair.
Yeah. There you go.
It keeps me in place pretty well.
But, I mean, and I guess...
Someday could happen. I could fall out, and then I'd be like, all right, that's it. I got to stand up.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Helen Gillet, award-winning cellist, producer, and singer on the Lanyap stage today at 12:40. It's 11:35, and she's still here talking to us, so she's got to go get in the zone.
I'm going to go get in the zone. It's great to be here. Thank you so much to all your listeners, and I hope everybody has a really great festival. And
today's gorgeous.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's
like, this is air conditioned out here.
And there's, I've got a bunch of shows around town. I don't know if I can talk
yes,
about
talk
that.
Yes, talk about that. In fact,
tonight I'm playing at the Tiger Men Den.
Tiger Men Den,
smaller venue. It's in the Bywater. Just come to the door. There'll be ticket first come, first serves. Doors at 7:30. And then Sunday I'm having a big end of festival season blowout at the Saturn Bar with a bunch of other musicians.
8:30.
That's going to be 8:30 doors, show at 9. That's right. We got power in the house at the Saturn Bar.
And she'll be coming in on an F-15 for that show.
Sunday, I'm going to try to bring it like an F-15 through the cello.
And then you're headed to Montclair, New Jersey.
That's right. Yep, playing
and
Montclair.
And the Catskills.
Catskills,
I guess,
yep.
For the opening of the season up
New
there.
York. You know? Yep, I'll be upstate New York a lot in the summer. So.
Absolutely. And then from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yep.
So you're all over.
You can follow me on Instagram if anybody wants to see more. Just come and say hi on Instagram. And you can follow me on YouTube as well. So.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks
and congratulations. Have a great performance.
I will.
And
thank
a great fest.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We are at the Miller Lite Tent. Stay with us.